In the desert, the whole community praised God. Oh, no, I'm sorry. The whole community grumbled against Moses. The Israelites said, "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt." There we sat around, not potted meat, but pots of meat, and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into this desert to starve the entire assembly. You ever been this way with God? You know, he rescues us, he delivers out into this place, and now we want to talk about, oh, my life was so much better. You mean when you were in slavery, your life was that much better? But God, you brought us in, like, I take a lot of comfort in this because I relate to this. And if you're normal, you're going to relate to this too. Sometimes we question where God takes us. I'm out in this place, I'm in this desert of sin, and it would have been so much better for us to just die. And they start grumbling. You know, no one has to teach us how to grumble. We excel at grumble. It comes naturally to us. So in verse 4, the Lord said to Moses, "I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them and see whether or not they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day, they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much that they gather on the other days." So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, "In the evening you will know that it is the Lord who brought you out of Egypt. And in the morning you will see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we that you should grumble against us?" I love this. God says, "Listen, I know what you need, and I'm going to give you what you need every single day." This is a lesson that every disciple has to learn. That God is going to take care of you every single day and give you what you need. The problem is us matching up our expectations with what we think we need and what God is giving us, and not grumbling about it and being like, "You know what? This thing that is happening to me, if we were to just go down the aisle and talk about our struggles, and every person came up here and let me tell you what I'm going through." First of all, we'd be amazed at the lack of originality of the things that we struggle with. Okay? Because we all deal with the same things. Okay? And we all have to wrestle with this idea that what we're going through is exactly what we need. Because that's who God is. He gives us what we need. That's good stuff that we would put in the good column. And that's hard stuff that we would put in the, "Oh, this seems really hard." You ever had that hard thing happen and then you look back a year later and you're like, "Oh man, that was actually really great." The challenge is for us to daily believe and trust that what is going on in my life and your life is what we need, and not grumble about it. You know, this is a concept that Jesus was trying to teach the disciples early on. Let's turn over to John chapter 6. Let's bring this concept into the New Testament where we live. John chapter 6. John chapter 6, Jesus has some commentary on this daily provision of God. I'm going to pick it up in verse 60, and then we'll skip back a little bit. On hearing it, many of his disciples said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" Aware that his disciples were doing what? Grumbling. Gosh, we're good at that. They're grumbling again. "Does this offend you?" Jesus said. I'm getting ready to say something that might just offend you. Okay? Let's skip back and look about what it is that offended people. Okay? Jump back just a little bit to verse 43. "Stop grumbling amongst yourselves," Jesus answered. "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent him draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God, and everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. I tell you the truth, he who believes has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate the manna in the desert, and yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that comes down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Then the Jews began to argue sharply amongst themselves. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? And then Jesus gets even more. Well, he gets more. Let's just read. Verse 53. I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoa. Let's just let that sink in a second. This is why the first century church were called cannibals, because they sat around and observed this eating and drinking of flesh and blood, which we're going to do today. We call that communion. Jesus says this is real food and real blood. Check this out, verse 54. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your forefathers ate the manna and died, but he who feeds on this bread will live forever. Now you can understand why in verse 60 it says, when they heard this, many of his disciples said, this is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? If you go down a little bit farther, this is the only recording instance where people just said, I'm out of here. I'm leaving. Sorry, that's too much for me. That's too personal, Jesus. I don't want you talking to me about every single day and eating your flesh and drinking your blood. Sorry, I'm leaving. This is the only recorded time where people in sort of large numbers left. And Jesus looked around and goes, are you guys going to leave too? See, this is a hard teaching, but one we have to grapple with, that God will give us Jesus to literally sustain us. You know, eating is something you do every day, yeah? People see my kids, they come and visit. Wow, your kids are so big. Well, you know, we feed them like every day, right? Like, they need to eat every day. We don't take any days off. And Jesus is talking about this concept. If you want to understand me and really have eternal life, it's so personal that it's like too hard. We got to wrestle with that. I don't know how that makes you feel, but that challenges me to the core, to literally let Jesus be the thing that sustains me. Jesus said, listen, man doesn't live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. It's so personal. And it's what needs to sustain us on Monday, on Tuesday. See, Sunday is fairly easy. It's fairly easy to come on in and see our brothers and sisters and sing songs. But it's the other days that are harder. I have a saying that I like to say, Christianity happens during the week. That's when Christianity happens. And that's what Jesus is trying to get people to understand. Hey, you guys are familiar with the Old Testament, right? You remember when the Israelites were out in the desert and God rained down from heaven? Oh, that's me. Whoa. See, this will change your whole life. Jesus is on every page of the Old Testament. If you're having trouble reading the Old Testament, and maybe the language doesn't connect with you, understand that Jesus is on every single page. When that light bulb went off for me, I started getting a lot more out of the Old Testament. God is teaching about his provision, and literally, like, imagine this. You get up, what are we eating today? Like, we like to camp out here, right? The brothers like to go camping, and we like to get up early, and we like to make our oatmeal, and we like to eat our weird REI meals and all that stuff. Imagine you get up and you have nothing, and God is saying, let me teach you something. I will provide for you every single day. That's how personal it is to get up and to realize God will give me what I need. Daily discipleship is about the daily provision of God. And it challenges us to our core. Moving along, turn over to Psalm 68. I'm going to share a lot of scriptures with you this morning, okay? Because I like to hear the sound of the pages turning, don't you? I love that sound. I mean, the smartphone is great. The app is great. But there's nothing that beats the just the good old pages turning. I like it. This is the point where I would insert the preacherism. You touch your cell phone 154 times. How much are you touching the Word of God? That's when I would insert that. Psalm 68, verse 19. Psalm 68, verse 19. Praise be to the Lord, to our God, who daily bears our burdens. Our God is a God who saves. From the sovereign Lord comes escape from death. Wow. What is God doing every day with our burdens? He's carrying them. He is carrying them. Not taking them away, not making them go away, but walking right next to us and carrying them. You ever carry something heavy and somebody just comes like, hey, let me help you with that? You know? We do that with the kids' ministry supplies when people are pushing in like tubs, big Rubbermaid tubs of things. Hey, let me help you with that. You know, it's refreshing when someone comes along. Let me help you carry that. That is the appeal that God is making to us. Are we letting him? God is saying, hey, I'll help you carry this thing. No, I got it, God. Oh, really? Because you look kind of slumped over right now and like kind of, you know, when we carry things, man, we wear it on our face and God's saying, come on, I will help you carry this. God daily carries our burdens. That's good news, man. That's not just Sunday. God carries us daily. We want to talk about daily discipleship. We need to have this daily connection with letting God help us carry what we have to carry in life. And I'll let you go and look at this on your own. Exodus 29 is where the entire daily sacrificial system sort of begins. And it's the blood of bulls and goats and it's entrails and altars and fires, and it's really intense. Aren't you grateful you don't have to do that? Now imagine, so let's put ourselves, let's get in our time machine and go back to that time period where you wake up and you're struggling with this thing and you know you've got sin to work on and you know you've got burdens and you're smelling the smell of burnt flesh coming from the temple. Whoa, what is that smell? What's the smoke going up in the air? That's a daily sacrifice for me and you. You just look out over the horizon. Wow, there's goats and things being sacrificed every single day. Because we have stuff we carry every day. How much greater is Jesus that he did that for us? Now, as you hear this and as you listen to this, some of us are way over here on the guilty spectrum. And you know exactly what you're carrying and you know exactly your sinful nature. And you're saying, yes, this, 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 and this. Here's what God has to carry for me. But we need to learn how to nail that to the cross, because that's what God literally did. So to carry it around every day is to not accept what he's freely given. And when we can get to that place, man, now you're talking about daily gratitude. Because we know that every day we got stuff that we fall short on. And we're real good at listing. The longer you've been around the church, the more you can list your stuff. I'd like to see us be, the longer we've been around the church, the more grateful we are, because God carries that and nailed it to the cross and triumphed over that. Daily good news. That's good news, daily gratitude. All right, Luke 9, Jesus comes along, he talks about daily denial. You know, we sit down and we study the Bible with people and we say, let's talk about discipleship. Jesus says that following him means daily denial of self. That is not popular. Oh my gosh. People come and visit church. Wow, this is kind of neat. This is different. We got different kinds of people. The singing is cool. Oh, you meet in our museum. That's pretty cool. Okay, well, let's Let's peel back the layers and let's talk about what it's really about. Jesus saying you got to deny yourself every day. Ooh, wow, this singing's not that good. I mean, plenty of places have a cool building. I mean, gosh. We're talking to people about daily self-denial. Genesis chapter 4. Four chapters in, God introduces this concept. Listen, sin, let me describe what it's doing. Sin is crouching at your door. So you open the door, good morning. You walk out of your dorm room. You walk out of your bedroom, your house. What is sin doing? It's hanging out on your front doorstep. Remember me? You know, you have to think the visual. But what does the rest of that scripture say? But you must master it. Like, daily following Jesus means daily learning how to say no to our own stuff that we know is not good for us anyway. I mean, how many times do we have to go down that road to realize, boy, it's still an empty road. Still a dead-end street. Yep, I was down there last week, and I went down there a few months ago. Boy, I've gone down this street a lot of times. Still dead-end. God's like, yes, it's dead-end street. Don't go down that street anymore. Wow. Sin is hanging out at our door every day. We must learn how to master it if we want to understand daily discipleship. I heard someone describe our sinful nature like two dogs fighting. Now, that's not a great visual, and it brings some ugly things to mind, but it's a pretty good one. You know, you got your spiritual nature, and you got your sinful nature, and they don't take a day off. Your sinful nature is awake all the time. Tuesday, Wednesday. The one that is going to win is the one you feed the most. Mm-hmm. Right? How many people here think that they could defeat LeBron James in a game of basketball? You could do it, Colin? Okay. Okay. How many people think they could get in the ring with, who's a popular boxer these days? Who's the biggest? Floyd Mayweather. He just got paid how much? It was crazy. It's like $100 million. It was like $100 million for one fight. Now, you may not watch boxing. Here's what I'm saying. If you starve Floyd Mayweather for 30 days, okay, buddy, you get no food. You can have some water. No food. I'll fight you after 30 days. And I'm going to win. Give me a trainer. Feed me. Teach me the techniques. Come on, Floyd Mayweather. Don't eat for 30 days. I will tear you up. Probably. Probably. Listen. Starve LeBron James for about a month. I'm going to score a couple points. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, we've got to learn to feed our spiritual nature, and that is what will win. Just like what Jesus is saying, come on. Literally, this is a meal that's happening. I will feed you, I will take care of you, and you will be an overcomer just like me. Daily denial. Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. I'm going to hang out here for a minute. We may finish here, we may this, but I'm just going to hang out on this one because this one is where we live. Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. I'm going to read starting in verse 12. Hebrews 3, verse 12. See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily. As long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ if we hold firmly till the end the confidence that we had at first. You and I need daily encouragement. Like, this thing is so hard and challenging that we're doing that we need someone or something to encourage us every day. Like, we, if you go about, you know, they say you can go without food for something like 40 something days, right? But you can only go without water. You know what water is? It's like, I think it's 5 or 6, 3, not very long. Okay, so you can go without food for a certain amount of time. You can go without water for a certain time. But if you do, you will physically die. God is teaching us here, we need daily encouragement or you might die. So I read that and I think, how encouraging am I? Like, if I know that everyone in here needs it every day, how encouraging am I? Brittany. First of all, that's beautiful, holding a baby. I'm so encouraged by you. Yeah. Last night, we sat there, and you sat in my living room, and you told me, you got to fight for your relationship with God. This is a fight, and I'm fighting for my relationship with God. And I was like, that was so great. You should have heard it. Now, you have grown so much in the past 2 years. You moved here, and God has totally changed you. You are mature. You have deep convictions. You've gone through some hard things, but you are still faithful, and you're encouraging. And I went to bed last night thinking, you know what? The labor in the Lord is not in vain, because there are Brittany's, and there are Alex, and there are all these people who are growing and maturing in God. And that gets me fired up. You encourage me by just you're preaching. I'm like, come on, Brittany. That's awesome. Man, Terry.
Come on.
You're so encouraging. Just to be around. I just enjoy being in the same room as you. I love the input that you give. When we do planning meetings, when we talk about things, I just love to hear you share your heart. You are a woman of deep conviction, and when you talk about it, it comes out, and it's awesome. Mm-hmm. You are an encouragement to me.
Are you just encouraging?
See how this thing works? Like, Carol, look at the back row. Let me pick on the back row for a minute. Dee, Tony, Carol, look at y'all. The Black Mountain contingent back there. Driving all the way in from like 5 exits. It's 5 exits. It's funny. All right. Can I say this real quick? In Atlanta, you get used to driving all over the place. But out here, like, driving from Black Mountain's kind of a big deal. Like, I've met people in Black Mountain. They're like, oh, Asheville. Asheville? We don't go into the big city. You know, it's like. But let's just take a second to recognize that you do get up early. You drive a little farther. You spend a little more on gas. On a Wednesday night for fellowship and to encourage people. And you guys are awesome, man.
Yeah,
I love walking up and seeing Dee and Tony out there, yes. Hugging people, talking to people. That's such an encouragement to me. I look forward to that. I park where I park so I can walk in. I could go in here. I could go in anywhere. I want to walk past Dee and Tony. I want to get a hug because that's so encouraging. That's the first thing that people see about it. This group. Y'all are some hugging people, aren't you? It starts at the front door. I love that. That's encouraging. Carol, you're inspiration. We, about a year ago, we sat down over there at the mall, and you said, hey, I'm thinking about moving to Asheville. I'm thinking about selling my house and moving here, because I really think I have something to offer, and I want to be part of a small group, and I see so many beautiful young women. I want to try to be a mom to them, and you have done that. Now, that's not one of those upfront things. That's not necessarily glorious and things that, oh, we, you know, that we, but that is what the kingdom of God is built on.
Right.
Sacrifices of men and women like that. You encourage me. I want to just go and just talk about every single person. The campfire last night. Like, there's something magical that happens when you just start a fire. You know, it's like, let's burn something and sit around and sing songs. Man, James singing songs out there. I'm sitting in the garage having kind of like a really deep talk with a brother. It's deep. And what do I hear outside? Colin standing up. Encouraging one of the girls, talking about you're amazing, and I'm like,
three.
I stand corrected. See? Straighten him out, Colin. All right. How about the Hummer girls? Now, let's recognize something. When you're in a small church, there's not a whole lot of teens around. They walk in the door and there's not a whole lot of people. There are other very large groups of people around here that have lots of teens. Yeah. And it would be very easy to be, I'd rather do that. But you guys come in and you give your heart and you learn. And there's not 100 other teens sitting here. Maybe someday there will. I dream of the day when old Christian and Meg are out there bringing like teens. Christian and Meg, hey, we wanna do something with the teens. That fires me up. You four are an encouragement to the whole church. We got other teens, the DeHalls, their kids. And let's just take a second to recognize, man, on a church planting, you may not have like 50 peers. You may have like one. All right, we're going to be friends. See, that's like I mean, I became a Christian in Atlanta when there are thousands of people, and you walk in and there's like, it was very easy to identify with other people. There were people in my stage of life. There were people that I could immediately relate to. And we don't necessarily have that here.
Right.
Yet. But you guys come on in and you're happy and you sing and you give and you listen to the crazy guy up front who will call you out from time to time, and that's beautiful. And that's a reflection of your parents who are standing for what they believe in. Because they probably drive by 400 churches on the way. Like, it's like, what time do you have to leave to get here?
9:15.
Just let that sink in for a second. Driving past all those other churches where maybe there's 100 teens over there. They could sit there and they could say, oh, it would be so much easier for my kids to go. Like, that's a big deal. That's an encouragement. It's a sacrifice. We need daily encouragement. Okay, so I don't know. I met you guys last night, but I've met your kids. And I've hung out with your kids, and I've talked to your kids. And your kids have conviction, and that's a reflection on you. That tells me, yeah, I'm pointing, brother, the Kessels.
Oh. Okay. Yeah.
When you sit down and talk with a young man or woman who has conviction, who's 18 to 22 years old, and they share about their faith, and they share about their parents, and the sacrifices that they've made, that is huge, and it's impactful. And I was playing pool with Ashley, and she just telling me about her parents, and speaking with respect and admiration. And I want to be like my parents. I want my marriage to be like my parents. That is so great. That was an encouragement to me. And I'd never met you until last night. But I met the results of your work in the Lord. And when young men and women, Alex Chu. Pause. So I was gone last week. And my boy was preaching. And people were texting me. It was so great. Man, it was amazing. Alex was preaching up there. And I was like, oh, I can go. You're amazing, dude. That's not in the notes. Like, this is the kind of stuff we need to do. Like, this is why I'm going to segue here and preach for a second. This is why we get together for midweek. I know it's an extra time and a sacrifice, and it's hard. You've been working all day and you got to drive for a little bit long. But like, these are the kinds of things that should happen when we get together. Like, where you could just pull a brother aside and say, hey, dude, I love you, man. You're awesome. And daily encouragement. Y'all found us on the internet and you came on in. Come on, interwebs. I'm encouraged. Man, that Google machine, it's working. Daily encouragement. Let's think about, all right, when you walk into a room, who can I encourage? Who can I encourage? All right, let's go ahead and finish up there. There's all kind of daily things. In Acts, it's all through there. Things were happening daily. If you want a good Bible study this week, just look up the word daily and study it out. The things that were happening in the church daily. People examining the scriptures, people being encouraged, people growing. This thing is about daily discipleship. I hope that you leave today feeling like you want to examine your daily life and let God be enough every day and let our faith and our trust go. Because if we will become like the people that God talks about who do the things daily, we're going to be people who are faithful. We're going to be people who are grateful. We're going to be people who are strong in the grace. Mm-hmm. We're going to be people who are victorious over sin, knowing that every day we walk out our door, and there it is again, but I'm going to overcome that. And we will be encouraging people. Those are the kind of people that we really want to be, that God really wants us to be. So I hope you're encouraged this morning. We're going to sing a couple more songs, and we'll be dismissed. And again, just one more reminder about the wedding that's taking place. We're going to try to ease our way out the bottom this morning. Brother, thank you, Tom. Let's take communion as we're singing some songs. James, can we do that? Thank you, Tom.